to join in the largest family reunion in history. It will be far more than just another vacation. You can join in the wonderful program of events, clan gatherings, school reunions, family get-togethers, and homecoming festivals. And you will enjoy the warmest of welcomes home. So go on, plan your visit now, or better still, organize your own gathering. Bring your family, friends, and colleagues, and play your part in Ireland's renewal. You'll be glad if you do. For more information and great value offers, visit Ireland.com. The Gathering Ireland 2013. Be part of it.
Friends, on our first program following the onslaught of Hurricane Sandy, the most appropriate place to go to, and one of the hardest hit areas on the East Coast, was our own Rockaway. We had no problem actually in trying to figure out who we would get, even though there was no telephone service, there was no regular, as a matter of fact, there was very little of anything taking place in Rockaway and Rockaway Beach. But a colleague and a friend of ours who produces and broadcasts his own television program called Suruun na Gael, The Eyes of the Irish, Mike Benn, found a way to link with us on that morning, we should say maybe infamous morning. And so we welcome Mike Benn back, and he's coming to us live from Rockaway with a little bit more ease than the last time we spoke, Mike Benn.
Yes, Adrian. Good morning, everybody, and happy Christmas to you all.
And to you, too. The, yep. The scene, if we can just flash back to that, Sandy had just hit. It had been predicted as we had heard many times before, and it has been predicted to be pretty horrific. And before Hurricane Sandy, most of us were quite comfortable in assuming that when we got the news and the weather forecast, that they were going to give us the worst possible case scenario. So we were kind of saying, yeah, well, this one is going to be, it's going to be bad, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as they're saying. You and the people of Rockaway would know that that didn't turn out the way it was expected.
Adrian, it was, believe me.
Yeah, you have the radio there in
I'm
the background.
I'm just turning it down.
Okay,
Adrian.
Good. All right. Okay, no problem.
What, nobody envisioned what actually happened down here. You couldn't. It was like a tsunami. As you know, I live on the beach block here,
yeah,
in the Rockaways, and we had a 6-foot wave come up the block at 9:10 at night and just like wiped us off the map. And that's all you can say about it. The ocean came in, the bay came up, and it met in the middle and just did a total number on the Rockaway community down here.
Was there a time when you and the Benn family thought this might be it? I mean, whatever about the house, whatever about the, you know, the beach, the area, maybe this is the way you're going to leave the world.
Well, you know, they predicted two major surges. They were predicting two major surges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the first, basically, the big one came at, we were up in the boardwalk, the last remnants of the boardwalk about 6:30 at night. We walked up to see how the ocean was coming up and, you know, how it was. At that time, the water was trickling. over the boardwalk. You know, the wave would break
right.
in and break
But
back
you had
out.
Seen that before, Mike. I mean, you had experienced... You know, well, is there a sense of confidence that you get because you are a resident and because, you know, you've been there, you've done that, and you've actually seen, onslaught or weather patterns and wind and rain and just about everything? If you live in Rockaway or if you live in Long Beach, if you live in any of the areas that have been affected by Hurricane Sandy, you must be getting a bit tough. You can tough it out. And we couldn't imagine, of course, when we were watching television and, you know, watching all the people on the boardwalk. Meanwhile, all the warnings and the get out of there and so forth. So it was like it must have been something different, something else. So you were on the boardwalk. That was the first one. Did you feel anything different? Did you feel, boy, this is not, I've been here many times before, but I don't know, this one was something different, or did you think it was going to blow over?
Well, at 6:30 in the evening when we were up in the boardwalk, the water actually came up on the street, so we said, we might be all right. Mm-hmm. Okay, we might be all right.
You but had seen water on the streets before.
Yeah, but at 10 to 9, Adrian, at night, it put all those dreams away. Because that a 6-foot wave came right up the whole block. And just...
Mm-hmm. And it was, was it kind of coming from both ends? You mentioned there that the bay...
Yeah, it came up the bay rose over the wall. They have a 4-foot wall there.
Uh-huh.
Bay rose, the surge of the water just washed over everything complete.
The next few days, many days, there was no electricity, there was no water, there was a scene there that nobody had experienced before, and again, there were times when there were power outages, and everybody kind of took them in stride. But can you just give us an idea of the Rockaway of today and the Rockaway as Sandy hit? What are the main differences? I know there's been a lot of disaster and so forth, but for you as somebody who's lived in Rockaway your whole life, since you came from Ireland anyway, where is it at?
Well, it's the sections of the Rockaway starting to get back on. You know, we actually have our, I'll just give you, for instance, my own house. We have our boiler installed. We got the new sewer lines in. We have the hot water heater in. Right now, the guys are out working on my front porch. Everything was washed away. When we got hit, not only my own house, but like everybody knows the Breezy Peninsula, or the Breezy section of the Rockaways. There was 110 houses burned to the ground. Plus, now, what a lot of people don't realize up there, that when the water came over, it actually picked up most of those houses up there in Breezy were like one-story houses,
mm-hmm.
and it actually surged underneath the houses, lifted the houses up, and moved them on top of it, you know, like just tumbled them over onto the neighbor's house, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a total devastation then. But, you know, Adrian, one thing I have to say, and with all the devastation down here, you know, the Irish community in New York, really, really, every time, I mentioned to somebody, the boys are coming down again the weekend, they're bringing this, they're bringing that down, where should we set them up to, you know?
Yeah.
And you have from the consulate organizing. We had, I know yourself and Anya, you were involved heavily in this. There was over 1,000 people one day down here, you know, volunteers coming down. And then there was 600 the second time. And, you know, the people from the Sunnyside community, the young Irish kid there by the name of Mickey McCree from,
mm-hmm.
I think he owns the Bar 43 or something there. He had like 50, 60 people down here every weekend, Adrian,
yeah.
working. Going in there slaving like dogs, helping people out, ripping out walls, throwing out people's boilers down the basement. That's all you could do is get everything out of the house.
Yeah.
You couldn't save nothing because the mold was starting to grow in the houses.
Right.
Everything, all the water came in, got up over the first floor. Most houses were, everything was over the first floor. If you were one of the lucky ones that didn't, I could count them actually on one hand, the number of houses that weren't even touched. I know, don't ask me how, but
yeah.
You might have had one. But it, the outpouring of the community down here, not alone the organizations, but all the Irish organizations.
Yeah.
I know you publicize it highly on your show, you know, your organization.
Well, you know, efforts, yeah,
you know?
We had the easy a part of it, and I think that the community at large would have to acknowledge, well, first of all, the Noel Kilkenny and Peter and all of those at the Irish Consulate who kind of gathered the troops, got the Ashling Irish Centre in Yonkers, Emerald Isle Immigration Centre in the Bronx, and in Woodside, Queens, the New York Irish Centre in Long Island City. But there were a great number of people who decided that they were going to go and that they were going to go under their own steam and they were going to hook up with groups that were there. When the 1,000 Irish landed in Rockaway, I think you were very involved yourself there because, the consulate had been in touch with you and said we're coming with a lot of people and whatever. But you also, you had some experience under your belt because you had, the federal government had moved in, you had the Red Cross, you had many organizations, charitable organizations that we never even heard of. How was the match made there? How was it going? How did people determine which house they would needed more help? How did it work there, Mike?
Well, basically, each area of the Rockaway was determined. We had, like, you'd have the Catholic Club up in Breezy, St. Francis in Rockaway, St. Camillus in Rockaway. You had each zone, say, a zone, right? And you had a list of houses, and we'd tell the people, look, we have volunteers coming down the weekend. What do you need done? Get your name on the list.
Yeah.
And we'll get people over to you.
What about those that that lived in high-rise down there? If you go down to Far Rockaway, if you go to some of the areas where you had now multiple dwellings, some 300, 400, 500 in a building, no power, no electricity, no communication. How did that work when you had volunteers going down there, and was there some apprehension about going into buildings like that, not knowing what you were doing or where you were going?
No, yeah, Adrian, that's what I'm saying. You wouldn't believe it. You had people from everywhere just coming down. They take a building, they go walk floor to floor, door to door, knocking at the doors. Are you okay in there? Do you need anything? You know, we have water in the lobby. We have this, we have that. We have food, we have clothing. You know, everybody, there was no apprehension. I think crime is non-existent down there, which
yeah.
is great to say. I mean,
yeah.
you know, it's people. You see, the whole place was in such a total shock, Edwin. I mean, people just never. This looked like London after the Blitz in World War II. That's
yeah.
You know, that's what people could relate to.
Yeah.
You know,
I have in the studio here of my grandson, Gavin Enright, who does the sports report
right.
for us,
uh-huh.
and he lives in Long Beach. He has been listening to us. I know, Gavin, you're able to relate to what Mike Bennett is saying here very much.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I was one of the people who did stay and man the fort while the surges came in. So I know from firsthand experience what you witnessed. And I just wanted to ask you, Mike, after the days after the hurricane, obviously Long Beach is much smaller than Rockaway's, but one of the most remarkable things that I witnessed in Long Beach was how much, not only volunteers coming in, but just the people that were left in Long Beach, how much they came together, how much they became like just such a close community because of the rough times. So if there was people walking around, everyone was going to every house, making sure everyone was okay, helping out, ripping sheetrock, helping lift things out of the house, going around with hot food, going around with water, going around with everything. So I know Rockaway is obviously a much bigger place than Long Beach is, but did you guys get that sense also that people were coming together a lot more, or was it a bit different because of the bigger location?
Did you hear that?
I heard some of it, Adrian.
Okay. Gavin was asking you, here, why don't you, well, get the short version and use my microphone here. This fellow wasn't supposed to be here at all, he just showed up.
Alrighty, Mike. Just
hey, Gavin.
Being one from who is a firsthand witness of the tragedy, I stayed in Long Beach the night of the hurricane, and I watched the surge hit. And the days after the hurricane, the amount of togetherness the community just had was unbelievable. That was one of the biggest things Long Beach noticed. We experienced everyone helping each other out. And I know, obviously, Rockaway is a much larger area than Long Beach is, but did you guys get that same sense of everyone helping each other out and coming together, or was it a bit different because you're a bigger location?
No, you hit it. You hit the nail on the head right off the bat. Everybody helped one another. Everybody realized, hey, we're all in the same boat here together, you know. I'll give you, for instance, I had my barbecue grill on the backyard. That was our mode for my block. Everybody was coming up. My wife had a kettle on all day long on the side burner. Everybody was having their tea on there. We were cooking bacon on it. That's the only way. There was no store. Stores are non-existent down here in the Rockaways at that time.
How soon, Mike, Adrian back again, how soon did how long did it take before you saw the Red Cross, before you saw FEMA, before you saw, some organized people who know what they're doing and know how to act in a crisis? How long did it take them to show up?
Well, Adrian, FEMA were around here, but I'll give you one thing, and maybe I shouldn't, but I will. But the Red Cross were non-existent down here in the Rockaways. I
did hear about that, actually, that the Red Cross weren't as frequent in Rockaway, but in Long Beach, actually, the Red Cross did a pretty good job. They were constantly driving around, giving out hot food, giving out blankets, water, if you needed medicine, anything. So, I mean, it was unfortunate for those in Rockaway, you didn't see them as much, but they were doing some part.
You know, I have a feeling, Mike, that knowing Gavin here and some of that crowd over in Long Beach, they probably held them. They probably didn't let them over to you at all.
But you know who helped out? And I tell you one thing. I don't know if Long Beach had those light towers, Gavin, out there. Because you know yourself, everything was in complete darkness. The mayor's office, young Maddie Gordon, Matthew Gordon there with the mayor's office, he had all these light towers with the New York City Police Department, Commissioner Kelly. They signed all these light towers down here, and they lit up portable generators on them. They lit up all the blocks. Thank God for those, because those were a major, major godsend.
Absolutely. Well, in Long Beach, they they, I'm not going to say that they had them all over the place, but they had one every, you know, every five or six blocks, you know.
So you could light up the, you know, you'd see some light, you know, you wouldn't
yeah,
see.
Yeah, it wouldn't be just a complete outer space, you know, complete darkness.
Yeah, yeah.
Was anybody concerned, Mike, at the time, yes, the you know, FEMA and many organizations came in and, you know, provided clothing for those, you know, not only did people lose their homes, but all they were left with was really the clothes on their backs. Initially, like, who were the first to show up? Who are the, what did you notice? I mean, obviously friends, neighbors were all gathered together, but who did you notice, like, coming in saying you're going to be all right?
Well, I'd say in the Rockaways, you had the fire department were down here. They were going around checking. You had the National Guard. They were going around, actually, 2 o'clock in the morning, they were all going up and down the blocks, checking the houses, asking if there was any elderly people around, do anybody needs emergency medication or wants to be evacuated out of here, you know, stuff like that, you know, because everything was candlelight. They were coming around with the, they had those, you know, those little lights in the center of their forehead, you know, going around like.
Yeah, well.
But it was something like Gavin will tell you, it's just living through it. It's like an experience you'll never forget, you know?
It was definitely something that you'll never, ever forget in a lifetime. It was something that'll have a lifelong impact on people's lives.
What is, Mike, finally I want to ask you, there are neighbors who were there even before you came to Ireland, generations of people who were living in Rockaway, who in a matter of hours became displaced forever and a day, and they had to go somewhere. Do you know where many of them wound up? I know there were, and there are still, FEMA is, there's the Federal Emergency Management Association. They have put people up in hotels, but what's the, as we approach Christmas Day here, where are those people and what's the impact that it has on the community?
Well, you know, Adrian, a lot of the people, first off, before I forget anything, Adrian, I can't forget the sanitation. Buddy Sullivan's crowd down here in
excellent.
The Rockaways, they were a Herculean job. Like you mentioned, our Consul General, Noel Kilkenny, another man in the background, and Peter Ryan. Fantastic job. You know, I mean, these guys all stepped up to the plate. Their face isn't out there, but they're organizing behind it, you know. But most of the people, I think, headed a lot of them, from what I understand, was in Brooklyn. A lot of them were in Brooklyn. A lot of them went to relatives in Long Island.
Can you see, as you look at Rockaway today, do you see most of the residents being in a position to come back to Rockaway? Maybe not to their own homes, their own houses, but one thing I do know, and we all know, for people, and of course this applies to New Jersey, to Staten Island in particular, to Brooklyn, to the Rockaways, to Long Beach, and to many other areas that we don't get to mention much, areas of the Bronx, City Island, right up into Connecticut. Do you have a feeling that residents of, let's just say with Rockaway, and Gavin, you with Long Beach, New York, that even if the home place has been wiped out, that you're going to find out people who have lived their lives in that area will find a way to come back?
Oh, absolutely. There is actually, looking now, there, at the beginning days after the hurricane, it looked like there was a lot of people that were just going to say, you know, forget it, leave the house, leave the town, this, that, and the other thing. But
now it's, as the weeks have gone on, it's now a month and a week or two past the hurricane, and the community is definitely is coming back. There's so many more people here. People are going to live in the town they love, where they grew up, where they have the best summers of their lives, where they have good winters also, you know, if they stay around. So people are going to stay where their home is, because it's not just a house, it's your home.
Mike, you shared that?
I heard that, and I couldn't, you know, you said it very eloquently. Believe me, that's the... I have brickies out here bricking up my front porch. You see everybody they're involved in. You know, everybody's learned a lesson in insurance down here, you know, and how devious the insurance companies can be. I won't go into that because it's Christmas time. I don't want to get my blood pressure up any more than it is. But the I tell you, no matter what, you rebuild your... It's our community, you know. I mean, you're involved in it. You spend your life here. Your kids grow up here, you know.
Absolutely.
You invest a lot down here. And it was just... my phone was just ringing there. It was Pat McGowan from... you know, Patrick is a good friend of all ours. And he was very instrumental down here in the Rockaways. He was very good, you know.
Yeah.
Organizing contractors down here to come down and volunteer, you know. This is what it's all about, Adrian. This is what, and Gavin will tell you the same thing, this is what gives the people so much pride. When you see the Irish community responded in kind, I mean, people, Adrian, from you mentioned Yonkers, the Ashling Irish Center, Brian O'Dwyer, everybody knows Brian is in the background of all these organizations. That's tremendous work. The involvement of all these individuals, and the outpouring, you say the outpouring of love, because that's what it is. I mean, you know, I was so proud of the Irish community in New York, the way they've responded. I mean, I've never seen anything like it in my whole life. Complete strangers coming up to you. I'll give you, for instance, Father Brendan Duggan had his dance out in St. Mary's out there. They were all down here the next day. They were serving Irish, what do you call it, the shepherd's pie. They had and people were walking by, and they have a ball and the shepherd's pie and everything else. You know, it was really, I mean, you know, it was really great. You know, and that's what it is.
What is needed, in addition to the volunteers who keep coming and showing up, and the Pat McGowans and those who you have mentioned, what is needed now in Rockaway for those who might like to do something? Because there are many who can't roll up their sleeves, or, you know, who can't shovel, who can't do the kind of manual labor that will be necessary for the months to come. What's needed right now?
Well, I know St. Francis up there, Monsignor Brown, he's done a great job up there. They have a lot, and St. Camilla School down here, you know. I understand both schools took a big hit, the flooring and all that. I know they have funds, fundraisers set up. I mean, you could have people donate to that. I mean, Breezy is like, they're so bad off in Breezy, nobody knows what's going on up there as of yet. You know, there's houses that can be repaired. They're trying to repair them. But there's so much devastation up there. They're really in a quagmire. They really don't know which way they're going to turn you on it.
Yeah,
you know?
Mike Ben, we are getting mixed signals. Many people say there's no more clothes needed. Stop bringing down clothes. We have plenty. Others. You know, are saying the, you know, FEMA's taking care of the food, the hot food, everything else. What's finally, and I'll ask both you, Mike Ben, and Gavin here, if other than manual labor help is needed, are we at the point now where fundraising is more important than anything else, or can there still, is there still need again for clothing or for food, for whatever?
Well, Gavin, do you want to?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd say that now that we're so long past the hurricane, you're starting to see more more businesses open. You have the deli open, you have the pizza place open. So hot food isn't a, I mean, sure, we love getting free hot food, but it's definitely not a priority right now. I think the biggest thing that the victims need is not really something that people can donate, but it's just the insurance money. That's the biggest thing. You need the money, and you got to get to work to fix the house.
Who's actually, Mike, who is monitoring the insurance companies? Who's holding their feet to the fire?
Well, I've had my own run-in with the insurance companies. So, I mean, everybody, I just spoke to Matthew Gordon from the mayor's office yesterday. Let me pull it up, Adrian. Let me get my glasses on, because actually, if anybody needs any assistance, they have a from the mayor's office is going to be over in the Waltham Shopping Center tomorrow, Sunday, from, hold on just 1 second, Adrian. Okay. Let me pull this email up that I got from Matthew. It's funny that, because I asked him, I said, you know, we need help down here with these bloody insurance companies. They're ridiculous. They do not. It's everything is they try to tell you a million different ways what they don't cover.
Right.
You know, and you're trying to find out what they do cover. You know, these people can read these policies like this.
Right. And of course, the insurance policy would like to write you a check and let that be the end of it. I'm sure there's a lot of finagling going on there, too. All right, look, you said war bombs?
War bombs tomorrow. I'm just trying to get the I have it on my email here. It's from the New York City Insurance. They actually oversee the insurance companies in New York, but they're in the Waltham Shopping Center tomorrow.
Yeah.
I believe from 10 to 2.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And Adrian, listen, thanks for all your help. You and Anya, you know, all your listeners out there, and to the Irish community and Gavin, you know, really and truthfully, I mean it from the bottom of my heart, you know, I wish you all a Merry Christmas, and you've made our Christmas all the better. So, you know, I know it's kind of Christmas is kind of quiet this year with everything going on, but, you know, we're greatly appreciative of all the help that you've given us through the years. Thank you, Adrian and Anya.
Mike, thank you very much indeed, Mike, Ben. Friends there reporting to us from Rockaway, from the Rockaways, and indeed our very best wishes go to those who not only suffered but continue to suffer as much as they have. You're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. Let's go to St. Joseph's Cemetery for some music here before we link up with Kevin O'Connor and Ireland.